You're listening to BPNradio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station. This is Preaching Sunday, and Preaching Sunday continues on BPNradio.com, featuring the message of Kelly Lindsley. Now here's Kelly.
It's good to be with you again today. I usually close with a song, but today I want to begin with one called Breathe New Life in Me. If you would like to go directly to the message, it looks like it will begin around the 4-minute mark.
Tell me that you'll never leave me, and though they come and still deceive me, if ever there was one to count on, I can count on you. And when my trusting heart is broken, when words of hope remain unspoken, put your arms around me, Lord, and breathe new life in me. Come down when the darkness blinds, when all hope turns into despair. There is one who stands, there is one hope left, and it's knowing you'll be there. And when I reach the end of hoping, wearied by the endless coping, you are always waiting there, listening for my call. And when my grief is overflowing, your peace will come without my knowing. You'll take me in your arms and give new meaning to my life. When the rains come down, when the darkness blinds, when all hope turns into despair, there is one who stands, there is one hope left, and it's knowing you'll be there. You tell me that you'll never leave me, and though they come and still deceive me, if ever there was one to count on, I can count on you. And when my trusting heart is broken, when words of hope remain unspoken, put your arms around me, Lord, and breathe new life in me. Put your arms around me, Lord, and breathe new life in me. Put your arms around me, Lord, and breathe new life in me.
Father, thank you that even in the most difficult times that we can trust you to breathe new life in us too. Help us to receive new revelation from this teaching today, that the blessings of God will flow to us and through us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hi everyone, it's good to be with you again. I appreciate your taking the time to listen. We're going to be looking at a very familiar passage today, Ezekiel 37. I was preparing this for a Bible study for some of my wife's students, and several things came to mind that were new to me, and I thought I would pass them on to you in case that would be helpful. We will begin with verse 1. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by his Spirit and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. Sometimes the Lord will take you places that are not on your list of places to go, that are not places that you would go, speaking from experience, okay? Verse 2, he led me all around them. There were a great many of them on the surface of the valley, and they were very dry. We talked a little bit before about the incredible brutality of ancient warfare and this hand-to-hand combat that was very lethal very quickly. And tens of thousands of people could die quickly, and you see that throughout Scripture in a pretty significant way. In frequent places, it brought to mind the Jewish belief that when someone is killed, that entire line of that person that was killed was also grieved for as well. The families that were destroyed, the children that were never conceived. And I'm going to kind of chase a rabbit here because the New York abortion bill was just passed here not too long ago. And I just badly named the Reproductive Health Act. But it basically, if you have not heard of this, I would urge you to educate yourself because it is a bill that provides for, in effect, full-term abortions. And there's even one that has been filed in Virginia as well, in which the Democratic governor from Virginia said that at one point that you, when the baby was born, you would put it aside and then make a decision. Any way you look at that, that's infanticide. I have significant concern that the people in New York and Virginia, that there were a significant amount of them that did not know that they were going to be voting for full-term abortions. And I would urge you just to be well aware of who you're voting for in this era. There's an incredible amount of deceit out there right now politically. And it's important that we become aware of who exactly we're voting for. When I was a young man, I didn't really understand the zeal of the pro-life people, in all candor. But especially now where you can actually see the baby in the womb that is fully formed, et cetera, in some of the more graphic videos, you can see the baby struggling to not be aborted. I just don't understand that. It's one thing to have a difference of opinion. It's another thing to pass laws that allow this kind of thing. So again, I just would urge you to be aware of who you're voting for. We may be looking at something as early as 2 years where something like that, where a bill like that is nationalized. So again, I would urge you some caution there, and forgive me for chasing that rabbit there. Verse 3, and he said, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Ezekiel was probably thinking along the lines of, you know, man, this must have been a huge battle with an enormous loss of life. And the Lord, by asking him that question, really turned that table completely around. That instead of looking at the loss of life that was there, the Lord was trying to get him to look at the possibilities, to look at the potential of them living yet again. That had to be a significant thing to think that all of this death and reminder of death could be resurrected again. Verse 4. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. First, I want to address the word prophesy. I look at, I'm not a Hebrew scholar or a Greek scholar, so I depend on software. And I'd not noticed how succinctly they had defined prophesy before. And they said that it means to speak or sing by inspiration. And in thinking about this, I don't think you can just limit it to singing or speaking. If you teach by inspiration, I think there is a form of prophecy there. If you're a stay-at-home mom and are being that mom by inspiration, I think there's an element of prophecy to that because you're doing it by inspiration. And the reality of it is whatever you're doing, if you're doing it by the inspiration of the Spirit working through your life, I think there is an element of that inspiration moving through your life. I may have mentioned before, I'm not real sure, my wife is the choral director at the public school here in Maybank. And last year, we did a song called Sing Forever to the Lord. And at the end of the second section, it was kind of more of a reflective part. A lot of it was pretty high energy and along the lines of praise. But the second section was really pretty reflective and less high energy, less volume, etc. But toward the end of the second section, into a transition part of the song, the word at the end of that transition was the word hallelujah. And she was having trouble getting the intensity that she wanted and the volume that she wanted. And so she had everybody put their music down because it was well along. They had learned the music, they knew the music, and she had them put the music down. And she said, when you get to hallelujah, the word hallelujah, I want you all to raise your hands. And they did it. And it was one of the most remarkable things I have ever seen in a rehearsal. And I've been in a lot of choir rehearsals over the decades. It was just a remarkable thing. And those kids not only did it, they remembered it even when they weren't raising their hands. And the spark that was there, the inspiration that was there, was significant. It was one of the things, too, that they do choral competitions here in Texas, which is why this song was being prepared. And they got the best rating that they could possible. But one of the judges said, it was like the sun came out when they sang hallelujah. You know, I am firmly of the opinion, and I brag on her whenever I get the chance. She's a remarkable choir director that directs by inspiration. There's an element of prophesying when she directs by inspiration. Everything that you do in life, if you are moving by the Spirit and being inspired by the Spirit, I think there's an element of prophesying in that situation. One thing we have to be cautious of when we move in that direction is distractions. And I think we end up having really ruin a moment, so to speak, by being distracted. I sang in a denominational church just here a couple weeks ago, and they were very attentive and very appreciative. And it was one of those times that you could hear the proverbial pin drop. But I was just thinking that if, you know, if there was a young child there just screaming his head off, the impact of those moments would not have been as significant. And I think we need to be cautious when we get into those situations and then get distracted by perhaps a phone ringing or a phone call or, who knows, the distractions that can get us away from moving in the eternal, to snapping us back to the natural in ways that are counterproductive. And one more aspect of this too. An older movie called Chariots of Fire. I may have mentioned this earlier. I'm not real sure, but this is a favorite story, and I probably will mention it again even. But it dealt with a young man that was a runner in the Olympics in the early 20th century. He eventually became a missionary to China. But one of the scenes, and you can actually look it up on YouTube, he says, "When I run, I feel his pleasure." You know, and I just would urge you to find those things in your life. When you do this, you feel his pleasure. When you do this, you feel the inspiration of the Spirit moving through your life. You know, when I write songs, when I'm writing the best, it's when I feel his pleasure. It's when I feel the inspiration of the Spirit. Find those things in your life and pursue them in ways that you know will have eternal significance. Back to verse 4, though, he told Ezekiel to prophesy and to say to them, just as he wants us to be used to do significant things. There's the theory in the feeding of the 5,000 that the actual miracle took place as the disciples were handing out the food that came from those few loaves and fishes. And after looking at this story, that is my inclination of probably what happened then too. That it was when the disciples were handing it out that the miracle took place. The Lord told him to act upon the Lord's authority, but he wanted to use Ezekiel for that authority to begin to be released. You know, sometimes it is just a matter of obedience and doing what he tells you to do. In this instance, it brought one of the versions says a great army back to life. And you never know what kind of extraordinary thing and power he can work through you when you're just being obedient over a simple thing sometimes. Verse 5. This is what the Lord God says to these bones: I will cause breath to enter you and you will live. And again, I alluded to this a little bit earlier, but the authority that we've been given is because of the Lord. Ezekiel didn't say, "I say to you, bones." It was, he said, "This is what the Lord God says." It's like when we end our prayers in the name of Jesus, we are appropriating the authority of Christ because of his blood, because of the atonement. And we're praying because we have that authority that if we've made him our Lord and Savior. I want to skip down to verse 8. As I looked, tendons appeared on them, flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. That just kind of strikes me as a little spooky. You have this enormous army, but they're just kind of standing there like zombies. And by the way, if there are any Christian filmmakers out there with a gift for special effects, I would love to see this chapter put into a film. I think it would be significant. Verse 9, he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, say to it, this is what the Lord God says. Breath, come from the four winds and breathe into these slain so that they may live." The stages of this, I think, are real interesting too. The breath represents the Spirit working through the bodies. And so it is the Spirit of God that moves through us, that takes us into the supernatural realm instead of the natural. the infrastructure, so to speak, of the bodies was there before the breath was. This is similar to the passage in Genesis 2:7, where it says that he breathed the breath of life into Adam and Eve. Verse 10, "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath entered in them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army." The New King James Version says, "an exceedingly great army." And put yourself in Ezekiel's shoes here, or his sandals, as the case may be. Don't you know he's wondering what was going to happen next here? You know, it's like, okay, Lord, what are you going to do with this? And you don't always know, do you? Where he's taking you, what he's doing, particularly in areas that you would not normally go. Verse 11. "Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Look how they say, our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are cut off." You know, before, I've been looking at this from a natural standpoint, from a literal standpoint. But it was meant to be a metaphor to show the complete deadness, so to speak, of the house of Israel. They had become horribly apostate to the point that they were literally worshiping idols, and the death was everywhere. They began to literally suffer the consequences. And back to our era, to our day, as verse 11 says, your bones may be dried up too, and perhaps some of your hope has perished as well. Verse 12, "Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the Lord God says, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them, my people, and lead you into the land of Israel. You will know that I am the Lord, my people, when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it. This is the declaration of the Lord." There's a couple things I want to address from that passage. Number one, you may be waiting for your Ezekiel to come and prophesy to you. You know, maybe your hope is perished. Maybe your bones feel all sorts of dried up. You know, be in the right place. It just speaks to the importance of being around the right people. I talk about that frequently with Catherine's high school students. You've got to be in the right place. You've got to be cautious about the people that you associate with, especially if they're what they call these days toxic people. You've got to be in the right place. People with vices and significant problems in their lives are not going to be the ones who are going to speak positive things in your life, are not going to help you to get farther down the road to where you need to be. And we really do need to take the responsibility of limiting the damage that toxic people can have in our life. But secondly, and I think this is even a stronger point and a more important point, you may be the Ezekiel that someone else is waiting for. You may be the Ezekiel that's going to speak life to dead bones, that is going to help restore the hope that is gone. And that's important too, that we always find those opportunities to do what we need to do. The first segment that I put up on Preaching Sundays, we closed it with a song called Offerings of Praise. And the first line says, "Here I am again to offer praise." We need to always be looking for those opportunities. Here I am again. What can I do today? What can I do today that will speak life into dry bones of people all around me, that will renew, help speak something that will renew hope in people's lives? We need to look for those opportunities. And we need to not do it in our own authority, but in the authority that the Lord gives us. That we don't say, as Ezekiel did not say, that, you know, he didn't say that I speak to your bones. He said, this is what the Lord God says. We need to speak with that authority. The 1 Corinthians 14:3 passage is a very common passage as well. But he that prophesies speaks unto men edification and exhortation and consolation. Everybody you see today could use one of those three, and sometimes all three. Okay. Sometimes if people are bouncing off the bottom, bouncing off of the valley depths, they're probably needing all three of those things. The James 3 passage that talks about the importance of the tongue and the importance of what we say. I'm not going to go into that but I wanted to reference that so you can take a look at it. It's in James 3. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the universe was created by God's command, by the things that the Lord spoke, so that what is seen has been made from things that are not visible. The concept of speaking your world into existence is a valuable principle. And if you want other scriptures to look at, during the creation in Genesis 1, verse 3, verse 6, verse 9, there's several as he is releasing the creation message, or releasing creation rather. I would urge you, if you've got dry bones in your life personally, to begin to prophesy to them. One of the best things that I have done in my Christian walk is gather passages of scripture that have meant a lot to me for one reason or another, and begin to pray them in kind of an affirmation kind of way. I started this many, many years ago, and have begun to incorporate that as a part of my prayer life. And I frankly would recommend you do it. The word does not return void, number one. But number two, it's a form of what Ezekiel was doing. This is what the Lord says. You know, we got a lot of chatter going on these days. We got a lot of ways to communicate, even though we're not communicating very well with all of these modern ways sometimes. But we must keep our focus on, this is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says.
Hi, this is Kelly again. Thanks for taking the time to listen today. If you'd like to get in touch with me, drop by the website at kellylindsleymusic.com. Lindsley is Lindsley. There are some other song samples on there and other things, and I'm confident the CDs will be a blessing to you if you're interested. You can also reach me on Facebook at Kelly Lindsley Music as well. Thanks again for listening, and press into the very best that he has for you.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the timely message and music of Kelly Lindsley. For more information about Kelly, contact us at breakoutprayernetwork@gmail.com. breakoutprayernetwork@gmail.com.